1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I had talked with somebody earlier. I was talking about this big new church over here, and like I said a couple weeks ago, I'd hoped that maybe they'd be on board and they'd preach the truth, and boy, there'd be 1,000 people get saved the first year. But my initial fears were confirmed when I found out that it is going to be like every other new quote-unquote church and probably county, you know, big rock concerts, and there's definitely women preachers and stuff like that. So I have no hope that anything's going to go right there, but I just hope and pray that God will bless us and use us here, and we could be able to do something to please Him. And I think the message today, hopefully, kind of like the song Hold the Fort, encourage us to keep on keeping on until the Lord calls us out of here. He's coming back. Amen. We're going to meet Him in the air, and we're going to get to see the greatest victory outside of salvation that you've ever seen. And it's not going to be Trump worrying about the Ukraine and Russia or any of that stuff. We're going to see the Lord of Lords and King of Kings with a vesture dipped in blood later on, because He's going to trample out the enemy, amen, blood running bridle deep. And we're going to see King of Kings rule and reign for 1,000 years on the throne of David on this earth. So He's saying, hold the fort. That's a good song, you know, hold the fort. Keep with the stuff. Stick with the stuff. Don't vacate the truth, and don't compromise the preaching of the Word of God, and don't powder puff sin and kind of gloss over things, but preach it. Amen. We'll keep it as straight as we can as human beings. Well, I want the Lord to just use us and make this church gun barrel straight on Bible doctrine. Amen. I don't want to waver. I don't want to quit. I'm not leaving this King James Bible as long as He doesn't. Somebody's got to pry it out of my dead hands. Amen. I'm not leaving it. I would just as soon. Turn my guns in to the liberals as give my Bible over to anybody. Amen. I can survive. I could probably, much as I am not a vegan, I could probably eat clover and find some way to survive, get enough water to make it until the Lord calls us out of here if we had to. But honestly, without a Bible, we'd be doomed. We'd be doomed. You say, well, I'm saved and I've got Bible doctrine. Yeah, but you need this book every day. You need it every day. This, the Holy Spirit is likened to water in some instances of the Bible. And the Bible says, the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You can go for a little while without physical food, but you can't make it long without water. And if you're going to have the Holy Spirit and be able to identify the right Spirit and the right Christ and the right direction, you're going to have God's water. Amen. And years ago, I heard Jack Hiles preach a message. You know, people say, well, he didn't believe the Bible. Well, there were times he was questioning whether the King James Bible is the Word of God or not, but when he preached that message, he believed it. And it was called, Keep Your Stinking Feet Out of My Drinking Water. Amen. Because these publishers, the Zondervan and Nelson and all those fools out there, were trampling all over the Word of God by putting out perversions and messing with the King James Bible, changing things in the King James Bible and selling them as a King James Bible. All that stuff, and Jack Hiles said, keep your stinking feet out of my drinking water. And I like that. Praise the Lord. Keep your stinking feet out of my drinking water. And here we are. I don't think we realize how important this book is. You see, you realize that when you're thirsty, thankfully here in the United States, we can go to a spigot or grab a bottle of water or something when we're thirsty. But what the most important thing is, you can go pick up this Bible any day you want, any time you want, and open it up and get a drink from God. Amen. I don't know about you, but the fire's going on all around the place. This place is burning down. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, this place is burning down. And boy, I'll tell you what, it gets a little hot sometimes. It's good to have a cool drink of water. And it's good to know that the Lord will help us stick with the stuff and get on track, and Lord willing, stay on track until He calls us out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not in deceit, nor in uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So here we are looking at this passage, and the first thing I want to talk about in verse number 1, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing I want to talk about is the grace of God. The grace of God is God's undeserved favor upon us. We had talked about Sunday school, and we'll talk about a little bit more on Wednesday night service. We're going to go back through looking at the book of Ruth. But the book of Ruth shows God's undeserved favor dumped out on His bride. And I know if you're looking at the book of Ruth, Ruth was a blessing to Naomi, and she was faithful to Naomi, and she wanted to be with Naomi's people and with Naomi's God. And I understand that, but Boaz dumped out handfuls on purpose. He had his reapers, his gleaners, dump out hands full of purpose. That's an undeserved favor that he dumped out on Ruth, which is what God does to the church. He dumps out undeserved favor on the church, and that's what we're looking at. Paul saying to the Thessalonians, he is begging God, praying to God, dump out undeserved favor on these people. And that's what we need. We need God's grace. We've already seen God's mercy and His grace on Calvary, but we need God's mercy and grace as we walk the road of Christianity, quote-unquote Christianity, biblical Christianity. You're going to need God's grace. And good night, if you're like me, every now and again, you're going to need God's mercy, amen, not just for salvation, but Lord, forgive me. I'm caught up in this flesh, caught up in the world. The devil's messing with me. I'm on the ropes here. I need your mercy. And then, Lord, if you would just dump out your mercy and dump out your grace, and use this old sinner saved by grace, it'd be a blessing. And Paul's saying, Lord, dump your grace out on the Thessalonians. And then down in verse number 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. We see the gospel of our salvation. The gospel of our salvation didn't come from George Bush or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, good night, or Hillary Clinton, or didn't come from Joe Biden or Donald Trump. It came from Jesus Christ. The gospel of our salvation is the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and we can have eternal life because of the victory he had over death, hell, and the grave, because of the blood he shed to wash away our sins, because of that atonement he made, the only atonement that could be made that pleased God the Father. And Paul says, I want you, Lord, to dump your grace out on them. And he's talking about the gospel of our salvation. You don't get saved by being a good person. You should be a good person if you're saved, amen? You don't get saved by being a good person. And when you define a good person, you should define it by the Word of God, not by the world, amen? Because the world would look at Bill Gates, and a lot of people would say, look at him, giving his money away, probably most of it back to himself. But he's giving his money away. What a good person. And the truth is, it couldn't be farther from the truth, because he's lost without Christ, no testimony of salvation, not glorifying God. Probably denies the death, burial, and resurrection. Probably denies in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But the world's idea of good and God's idea of good are two separate things. Amen. People would look and say, well, look at Elon Musk. He wants to send the Democrats to the moon. And I'd say that's probably a good thing. Amen. Wants to send them to Mars and populate. But I mean, good night, they've already messed this place up. Why send them somewhere else to mess it up? Amen. But if you look at Elon and say, well, he's a good man and he does this and he does that. Well, you know, biblically, that couldn't be further from the truth. Amen. You look at some of these politicians and say, well, they talked about Jesus once, so they must be good men. And you look at their actions, and, you know, the world would say, well, that's a good man, that's a good man. Well, biblically, that couldn't be further from the truth in 99% of the cases. But God said to trust His Son for eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to experience continually the grace of God. And he mentions the gospel of our salvation. And then in verse number 6, he says something that's pretty interesting to me. He says, And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We see the grace of God, we see the gospel of our salvation, and now we see the grain of the world. The grain of the world is against God. So if you're going to follow God, you're going to go against the grain. You know what a cross-cut saw or a rough-cut saw is for? It's to cut against the grain. You know, things are a lot smoother if you cut, and a lot easier if you cut with the grain on a piece of wood. You can take a brand new skill saw blade, and you can put that thing on a piece of wood, and you can cut that thing with the grain. And boy, it's sweet. I mean, that thing just looks so smooth, and it's such an easy process, and you got to dodge that dust, amen? But you cut that thing sideways, and it starts that jerky, jaggedy stuff. I don't care if it's the sharpest blade in the world, it's always going to cut easier with the grain. You take an old worn-out blade, like some of us, amen, old worn-out blades, and you can maybe get that thing to smoke through cutting with the grain. But you get it going against the grain, you get the smoke and the fire and the blackened wood and all that stuff, because it's just hard to go against the grain. And Paul said, you received the truth in much affliction, because they were going against the grain of the world. They were going against the grain of religion. They were going against the grain of their family members, and against the grain of their friends, and against the grain of their co-workers, against the grain of what they had always been taught and always believed. And that's one of the hardest things for people to do, is if you've been raised in a religious system, it's really hard to go against the grain of what you've been taught. That's why you have to open the Word of God and see what it really says. I mean, there's a whole bunch of religion out there, but there's very little truth. There's a whole bunch of religion out there, but there's very little relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about whether people are lost or saved. I'm talking about whether they're walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him. And that's because people are afraid to go against the grain. These people were being threatened. These people had the threat of death for what they believed a lot of times. These people were told, you're not welcome at Thanksgiving dinner because you don't believe what we believe. These people were told, well, Your job might depend on you changing what you believe. You can't believe that. And these people were told, well, you can't be part of our clique. You can't be showing up in our synagogue. You can't be talking to our people. You don't. We don't want any of that going on here, because they were going against the grain. It wasn't an easy thing. And that's what Paul said. They became followers of him and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. For them to believe the truth, they had to go against the grain. I'm telling you what, the world is crossways with God. 90% of what's out there they're calling religion is crossways with God. Probably 2/3 of the churches out there are crossways with God. And you could do it. You could go to the rock concert over at the new church. You could go listen to the woman preacher spew out her Joel Osteen lies or whatever. You could go do all that stuff, and you could probably get some new friends. Amen? But then you're going against the grain of the Lord. Amen? Because he's running in the right direction. But the grain of the world, you're going to have to go against the grain until the Lord calls us out of here. And he's going to reorganize the fibers of this stuff. Amen. When he gets down here and rules and reigns, the grain's all going to be running the right direction. And there's no more of this baloney about, he's going to rule with a rod of iron, truth's going to be truth, right's going to be right, wrong's going to be wrong. It's going to be perfect rule and reign for 1,000 years on the throne of David. And the few people that will want to go against the grain, they'll have the plagues and the lack of water and all that. But Paul said, I want God to dump my grace, his grace out on you. And I want you to keep it about the gospel of salvation that you accepted in much affliction. Look at verse 7 and 8. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We see the grace of God, we see the gospel of our salvation, the grain of the world. Now we see the guts of God's people. You know what they were doing? Even though they accepted the truth, going against the grain, and they were losing some things carnally speaking, they had the guts to keep preaching it straight. You know what Paul says? He goes, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere your faith is known. Those people were getting the Word of God out. They received it in much affliction. And they stuck with it through the affliction and continued to do what God called them to do. They had some guts. You know what we need in this country? We need some guts. Not from the Muslims. They've got it. They've got guts. They can do the wrong thing the right way. Amen? Not from the Episcopalians and the Catholics and the Methodists and the Southern Baptists. No, we need some guts from the Bible believers. So if I eat Thanksgiving dinner by myself, it's more to eat. Amen? If I eat Thanksgiving, that's a Baptist thought right there. But if I eat Thanksgiving by myself, if none of my family ever talks to me again, and I'm doing the right thing and I'm preaching it straight, it's on them. If I lose my job because I'm bragging on Jesus Christ, as Abdullah is bragging on Allah, and he gets away with it, and he's got his prayer mat out there 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, and then I mention Jesus Christ and I lose my job, praise the Lord will take care of me. He'll either give me a better job or he'll just take care of my needs one another way. Amen. I remember when I was in practice over in Illinois, heavy on the ill and heavy on the annoying. I remember over there, and then people come in and they'd go, well, I'd witness to them and they'd say, well, this, that, and the other. And some, you know, hey, you got to quit doing that in here. You're going to lose patience. I said, I don't care. God will send 4 or 5 extra. For every one I lose, he'll send 4 Bible-believing Baptists in. I ain't worried about it. Amen? And, you know, I wasn't knocking it down like the Kennedys or anything like that, but God took care of our needs. Amen? Got to see people get saved in the doctor's office, amen? A chiropractor, not a real doctor. That's what the MDs always say. But got to see people saved there. You know why? Because God blessed it. God blessed it. You just have to have the guts to do it. And I know we don't always have the guts to do it. Like I've said before, sometimes I walk into Meijer with 5 tracks and walk out with 6, amen? Don't know how that works. Maybe I miscounted, maybe I picked one up. I don't know what happened, but sometimes the Lord says, do this, and I'm like, oh, Lord, not today. I don't want to deal with people. Yesterday, they gave me a dirty look. I don't want a dirty look today. That sounds trivial, but sometimes you have days like that. I just don't want confrontation today. I just want to go and get my baloney and go home. I don't want any baloney from anybody else. I want the baloney I came for, not any extra baloney. Amen. Bill says Con's baloney. He's a plugger for plugging Con's baloney. And I taste it's pretty darn good. Amen. That Oscar Mayer's greasy slop, I wouldn't even waste that $4 on that. But that Con's pretty good. Amen. But you go in the store and you're looking for a baloney and you're not looking for the baloney of everybody that wants to give it to you around. And you know, probably the day that you're worried about it the most is the day you're going to get it the least. That's the way the flesh and the devil works. So who knows how many opportunities we might have been able to see somebody get saved right in Myers, amen, right by the baloney section. But we got to have the guts to do what God's called us to do. Look at verse 9. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, praise God, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. We see the grace of God, the gospel of our salvation, the grain of the world, the guts of God's people, the willingness to go against that grain. And now we see the good fruit of Paul's ministry. You know what he says? My ministry wasn't in vain. Because you all are spreading the word of God all over the place. Not just there to the Thessalonian area, not just to this particular area, but you've got Macedonia, you've got Achaia, you've got around, everywhere around, they've heard of your faith, they know the truth. So Paul says, this is the fruit, the good fruit for my ministry. You know what Paul had? He had some fruit that wasn't producing. You know what good fruit does? You know, you plant that seed develops and matures, and the seeds inside that seed produce more and more and more and more. I just thought of this. You know, you say, well, I'm going to get a grow garden and, whatever garden, you know, in case JFK actually gets the red dye out of the food, then we won't have anything left to eat, amen, because everything's got it in there. So I'm going to get me a garden going, and I'm going to get me some heirloom seeds. You know what the heirloom seeds are supposed to be? A pure line that haven't been messed with by man. Almost everything out there has got seeds that have been messed with by man. You know, it's like our religion. I've got some heirloom seed right here. And then all that tainted garbage that man's messed with, that genetically modified and herbicide messed with garbage out there, that NIV and RSV and NASB, and all that stuff, I don't want any part of that, amen. I don't want to grow a third eyeball for God, amen. I want to grow in Christ, not, give me a third eyeball from the GMO word. I want the real word. I want the heirloom seed. We've got it right here. I've got it right here in this pulpit. We can look at the pure words of God in English, amen. You know what it produces? Good fruit. This Bible right here, this pure seed has produced more revivals and more witnesses and more good testimonies than all the other supposed Bibles put together. For how many years? Over 400 years. Isn't that something? 1611, 2025. Been a long time. All the great revivals that you can go back and remember, and all the preachers that you can remember, even though some of them had some faults with their doctrinal beliefs in certain areas, you remember Spurgeon, you remember Moody, and you remember guys like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and those guys. You know what those guys had in common? They had a pure seed. Amen. And they preached it. They got the gospel. They went against the grain of the world. They had the guts to keep going, and they were good fruit for whoever led them to the Lord. Look at 2 and 3 in chapter number 2. But even after that, we had suffered before. and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much affliction. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. We see the goal of God's man. You know what it was? To preach boldly the truth. Not some compromised version, not some watered down version, not some pink britches version where they let up on sin, but to boldly preach the truth. That was the goal of God's man. Look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our heart. We see the gospel entrusted. God has not just saved your soul, but He has entrusted you with the truth. He has given you the truth. None of us in here would be saved if people would not have been entrusted with and kept the truth. So, well, I thank God for our World War II veterans. Praise the Lord. That greatest generation, all that. Praise the Lord. Thank God for them. But thank God for the people that were willing to be burned at the stake and not reject the truth. Thank God for the people that were fed to the hogs and not reject the truth. But all the wicked stuff that the devil has done to God's people over the years, thank God that they would not denounce the truth. And you know, a lot of those folks, you say, well, yeah, but they're gone. But they had testimonies of being willing to die for the truth. And you know what that did? That produced fruit. People that they were witnessing to, that were laughing at them, that watched them like 10 burning candles and their fingers on fire, praising God to their last breath. People that they were mocking them before that were saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ because of that. I mean, you find testimonies of people that tied them to the stakes and lit them on fire that got saved. Why? Because they were willing to die for the truth. They were willing to die for the truth. Most people today aren't even willing to live for it. But the gospel was entrusted to them. They had a mission to preach the word. They had a motive. Look at verse 4 again. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. They had a motive to please the Lord. To please the Lord. It wasn't so they could have a big number board back here and say, well, we had 45 saved and 85 baptized last Sunday. It was so God would be pleased with them. They had a mission. They had a motive. You know what their mentality was? Provide the truth in search of God's approval. Look what that says again. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. They wanted to please God and be approved of God. You know what I found out as a pastor and Bible believer? There's one big club out there, and I ain't in it. By the grace of God, I'm not in it. Because this ain't politics. I don't care if I ever get invited anywhere to preach anywhere again. God has opened so many doors for me to preach since I got saved that I could not even thank Him enough for the opportunity to brag on Jesus Christ in the jails and the nursing homes, in the prisons and the boys and girls homes and different places He's opened the doors and different churches over the years. Well, there's one big club out there and I ain't in it. But I'll tell you what I am in. I'm in Christ. And I'm not guided or directed or tempted to go the way of the flock when they go the wrong direction. I mean, I got my own problems, don't get me wrong. But just like they say with the politics, well, it's one big club and you ain't in it. That's the same way with preaching. You know what Paul said? I'm not looking for the glory of man. I'm not looking for man to glory in me. I'm pointing people to Jesus Christ so they can glory in Him. Amen. They had a mission, they had a motive, and their mentality was to provide the truth in search of God's approval. Not the glory of man. I mean, you all are a blessing. You'll give me a pat on the back once in a while, even when you're humoring me, amen? But I don't need man to tell me what to think, what to do, where to preach, where not to preach. And you don't either. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and He says go, go, and He says slow, slow, and He says stop, stop, and He says take a break, take a break. But be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be ready to go against the grain and have the guts to do it. I mean, you don't have to get out on the street corner and say, all the Muslims are going to burn in hell, but you can sure hand them a tract at the grocery store. Amen. They had a method. You know what their method was? Look back at this verse, verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, you know what their method was? Their method was just to preach the truth to glorify the Lord. So we're not looking for the stuff of man. Now we all like it every once in a while. We love you. It's good to see you. We've been praying for you. We'll pat each other on the back, you know, and that's a good thing. But if that's your motivation, then when that goes away, so will your actions toward Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul was a man that was able to stand alone with the Lord. I say alone with the Lord, and I mean he wasn't really alone because the Lord's with him. But no matter what anybody else thought, or what anybody else said, even withstood Peter to the face because Peter was telling him false stuff. Paul said, I'm going to preach to please Jesus Christ. And then he's looking at the Thessalonians saying there's some good fruit because you guys are willing to give the gospel, go against the grain, have the guts to keep going on, and the goal to please the Lord. And the method of that to lift up Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up in the earth, we'll draw all men to me. I started out this week, I thought, man, I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to preach a message on worship. Because I don't think most people know what worship is. This isn't worship. Or the rock concert, that's not worship. That's not even biblical praise. And with that music, it leaned more toward praise and worship. But if you read that Bible and you find out where they say, no, get up, don't worship me, worship God, they fell at the feet of who they were worshiping. And they said, don't worship me, worship God. If you're going to worship God in humility, you're going to fall at His feet. You're going to fall at the Lord's feet. You get down on your knees and open that Bible and say, Lord, thank you. Not just for what you've done, but for who you are. Because if it wasn't for who you are, you wouldn't have done what you've done. Amen? Paul had a method, and his method was lift up Jesus Christ. He didn't have a program where he had all the apostles and disciples come together and say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, here's your deal, go out and tell everybody to pray to Jesus. He had a method, and that method was to tell people, sinners, Jesus Christ died for sinners. And you, sinner, need to be saved. And tell them about Jesus Christ and what He's done for them. He had a mission. He had a pure motive. And he had the right mentality. And the only true method. And I like bragging on the Bible, too. Praise the Lord. I don't mind. I've sat in a room full of preachers, and they all ridiculed me but one or two because I said, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I don't care. But it's not just about bragging on the Bible. It's about bragging on Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm not making light of the importance of the Bible by any stretch of the imagination. But I can go out on the street corner right now and I could say, The King James Bible is the Word of God all day long. Might get spit on. Might get the wrong finger pointed at me. Might get laughed at. Might get amen. But until I open that book and say, thus saith the Lord, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but God commendeth his love for us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sinner, you need to get saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Until I start preaching about Jesus Christ, I might just be wasting my time. Amen? And I'm not slighting the importance of having the right book. But what are you doing with it? Amen? I mean, a lot of people out there are just smacking each other around with it. Well, I believe this and you don't. I believe that and you don't. I believe this and you don't. Just waving that sword like a fool. When they need to open that double-edged sword up and preach Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to preach. I mean, it's all him. The gospel was entrusted, and Paul said, you know what? We're stewards of the Word of God. We're stewards of the truth. And the truth is, just being kind to Israel, or just showing up in church, or just putting money in a plate, or just sending money to Haiti to dig a well, or just trying to be a better person every day, be the best you can be, is not the answer. The answer is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's turning to God and saying, Lord, forgive me and save me. Enough people out there lying to people. Who's going to give them the truth? Who's going to give them the truth? My prayer today would be the same as Paul's started out, that God would dump his grace out on this church and each individual. And that grace would be what it takes. That undeserved favor is the power of God in each and every one of us to be able to go against the grain and have the guts to keep doing it until the Lord calls us out. Whether it's 5 people or 105 people, God will bless it. By the way, there's more than 5 in here, so I'm not letting anybody off the hook. I'm just saying. What are you going to do with the gospel? You've been entrusted with it. That's the question. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are weak. We're a mess. We need your grace. We need your power. And we need you to come soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, we need your grace and power to give the truth. Go against the grain of the world and have the guts to keep on keeping on until you call us home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.